Friday brings the official merger of the State Department of Community Health with the Department of Human Services. This will create the new Michigan Department of Health and Human Services with some 14,000 employees. Will the merger lead to more streamlined, holistic, coordinated services, as Governor Snyder and state officials are predicting? Or will the merger mean efficiencies, aka job cuts, and more work for already overloaded caseworkers and staff? Chastity Pratt-Dossie explores these questions in her recent piece for Bridge Magazine. Always good to talk with you, Chastity.
Thank you, Sandy.
You start your piece by taking us along with a woman from Grand Rapids who was forced to get state aid after multiple sclerosis forced her to shut down her cleaning business. What did you find?
Well, I think the important thing here is, you know, we wrote our story a couple months after the Department of Human Services announced cuts, and it gave us some time to just say, okay, so what is this going to mean for regular folks? And what we found is that people who use the services are kind of nervous, you know, wondering, okay, what's going to happen? It's already hard to get my caseworker on the phone, or, you know, they're already slow in responding to my needs. And then caseworkers saying, I'm overwhelmed. I have hundreds and hundreds of cases, and now I have more to do. So we just see the people who are in the front line, you know, working with clients, very anxious. And people who use, who get public assistance are very anxious as well.
So help us piece this together, Chastity. Last June, the state cut DHS staffing by $7.5 million, even as overall state spending went up from 2013 to 2014 by 9%, from $47 billion to about $51 billion. And then, as you report, last year, DHS saw a drop in the number of temporary cash and food stamp cases. So how does this all fit together?
So the increase that we saw from $47 billion or about $51 billion, that was the state spending. So I think it was interesting in researching this that we found, okay, the state budget went up from 2013 to 2014. And they said at that time, okay, we'll spend more as a state, but we're going to cut the Department of Human Services by 7.5%. And that was just curious to me that at a time when the state was deciding to spend more overall, the state decided to cut the DHS budget by $7.5 million for staffing. Also in that year, DHS's cases went down. So essentially, it appears as if during the budget year 2013 to 14, the state said, okay, we're going to spend more as a state, but we're going to cut the spending on DHS because, you know, they don't have that many clients anymore. When in actuality, again, people who work in DHS and people who get the services say, whoa. Just because you see a temporary drop in cases doesn't mean we don't need that $7.5 million.
Yes, yes. And now this week we're going to see this merger happen, DHS and MDCH, becoming the biggest department in the state. First of all, take us back through what we're being promised or predicted by state officials.
Everyone probably already knows up until now, the Michigan Department of Corrections has been the largest department in the state of Michigan. But now we're going to see the Department of Community Health, which deals with Medicaid and Medicare, merge with the Department of Human Services, which deals with food stamps and cash assistance. Like you said earlier, it's going to be the biggest department in the state, 14,000 employees, and billions of dollars in state and federal funding is going to be handled through this one new department. And what they're saying is, okay, yes, this will be a situation where we hope we'll have more efficiencies. For families who might get Medicare, Medicaid, and also food stamps, they'll have one-stop shopping now. Again, the fear is, oh, that sounds like merging efficiencies, buzzwords for here come some more cuts in the job ranks. So what the state is promising is that families will see some efficiencies. Families that use both of these departments will have one-stop shopping, but they're not quite at the point where they're saying, we definitely are or are not going to have layoffs.
It almost seems like hedging the bets.
They're in a budget cycle right now trying to figure out, you know, what the spending will be for the next year. And there's just no promises being made other than we're going to look for efficiencies.
And I'll tell you, Chastity, the pages and pages of comments on your story for Bridge made for some very interesting reading, and there seems to be a very right. healthy representation of DHS caseworkers who had to chime in. And one wrote, I'll quote her now, "As a caseworker, I can tell you we are treated like the enemy by management and like dirt by the clients." That's pretty heartbreaking when you think of why people want to go into this in the first place, which is essentially to help people.
We started the story with Toni Scott. She lived in Grand Rapids, which saw the highest number of cuts, DHS employee cuts this year. And she talked about that. She talked about, you know, when you go into the welfare office, for lack of a better word, to get public assistance, it's not a happy place. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to ask. That's why you see some clients who are definitely on edge because, you know, these are people, grown-ups, asking for, needing public assistance, and that's not always a happy situation. And then you have people, caseworkers, who have hundreds and hundreds of cases. And in our story, we talk about prior to these cuts, the caseworkers were not meeting the government's requirements for promptly responding to clients. So all of that, you know, makes for, you know, a tinderbox of emotions. And so what's going to happen when these two departments merge and they create efficiencies? Will we see more cuts? Will we see more slowness or lack of promptness in dealing with clients? I don't know. But you're right, Cynthia. When you look at those comments on the story, it's an emotional issue. Public assistance, taxes, welfare, it's always an emotional story.
Boy, it is. It is. Whether it's the caseworkers with their stories of being overstressed and overburdened. Another caseworker who wrote about that she had to retire. She was, I believe, in Kent County. And she said, I could not handle the caseload size and those 100 or more phone calls a day. But then there is that, as you say, that emotional tinderbox of kind of that attitude. The one gentleman who wrote in saying, I have no sympathy for one of the clients having to wait an hour and a half for taxpayer assistance. His quote, she chose to have those children without a firm financial backing. She's a single mother of two. He said, I'm tired of supporting this way of life. How do we ever think that as a state that we're going to be able to pull together to find the best way to help people in need when it's just such an inflammatory topic?
Oh, that's a good question, Cynthia. I wish I had the answer to that one. You know, when we do these stories, we're always reminded as to who is really on public assistance and who is really being helped. And the majority of people who are getting public assistance in Michigan and across the nation are children. So, I mean, you can't leave children out in the cold. At least that's not the way we do things in America. And it's an expensive undertaking, especially in Michigan. But Pat Sorensen from the Michigan Public Policy League brought up a point in our story. She said, first off, remember that you're helping children.
Yeah.
But also remember that we're going into a budget season, and it's got to stay at the top of people's minds. That's why we did the story.
Chastity Pratt Dawsey. Her report in Bridge Magazine is titled, With State Welfare Cuts, Caseworkers Fear Less Time to Help Families. And you can find the report at bridgemi.com. Chastity, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.